Having achieved enlightenment in the critically acclaimed The Year of Living Biblically and sharpened his mind in The Know-It-All, bestselling author A.J. Jacobs had one feed left in the self-improvement trinity to make over his body and become the healthiest person in the world. In his new book, Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection, the experimental journalist and intrepid Esquire editor-at-large explores every aspect of the body from biceps to the brain, from testosterone to toenails, to get into shape. Again, the name of the book is Drop Dead Healthy, and it's a great pleasure to welcome A.J. Jacobs back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be back.
At what point did you know that you wanted to do this, to work on your health?
Well, 3 years ago, I was just in the worst shape ever. I was what they call skinny fat, so I looked like a snake that had swallowed a goat. And my wife said to me, I don't want to be a widow in my 40s. You have got to get in shape. And I thought, okay, she's probably right. And if I'm going to do it, I've got to go all the way like I did with my other books. I'm going to test every bit of medical advice in the world and try to revamp my diet, exercise, sleep, stress level, sex life, posture, the whole thing. So that is that's how it began.
And this came from concern, genuine concern that you had over your health, but you knew that you were going to, as I said in the introduction, there was going to be this experimental quality of trying out different things to get you into better shape.
That's right. And as you pointed out in the introduction, I sort of tried to improve my mind, and then I tried to improve my spirit. So this is, I thought, I had to finish by trying to improve my body and test everything out. So I tested every diet I could find and every workout regimen and all of the cures and products. So it was a wild couple of years.
You talk in the book about how you assembled this team, sort of Team AJ, to figure out what you were going to try, what you weren't going to try, and how that was going to go. So how did that team come together, and then how ultimately did you fulfill their regimen?
I gathered doctors and trainers and nutritionists, just the top of the field that I could find. And so they gave me all this advice, and I had a list of advice. It was 50, 60 pages long. So it was a full-time job. Every moment of the day was taken up because you got to do exercise. There's meditating. That's good for you. Going out into nature lowers your cortisol level, the stress levels. Petting dogs. There's lots of studies about how that lowers the blood pressure. I didn't have a dog, so I sort of went to the dog park and asked if I could pet strangers' dogs. Sometimes they let me. The other times they thought it was a little creepy. But overall, it was a packed day. So which actually was a little bit stressful. Being too obsessed with health can be stressful, and stress is bad for your health. So there was a bit of a paradox there.
You made this list of things to do to improve your health, and it was 53 pages. Then it became 70 pages. There was a lot of things to keep in mind and to keep track of. Did you find that things would often negate one another?
There was that problem. You know, one day you would read that bacon is horrible for you, and the next day you would read, bacon is good for you. So there was that problem, but I do think that 90% of the health advice the legitimate experts agree on. So you eat things like eating whole foods, exercising every day. Those are solid information that you that is not contradicted. So the key is to follow the ones that everyone agrees on and then experiment a little with the ones that are controversial.
And there were things, obviously, that you would take that you wanted to do anyway that I'm assuming you found, like watching baseball, and you say, oh, okay, I can incorporate that because I like to do that.
Oh, that was my favorite part, is rationalizing my own vices. So yes, watching baseball, there was one study that says that lowers your blood pressure, although watching football sometimes increases it. So, but also, alcohol, one glass a day is linked to longevity. So very, very moderate alcohol consumption is overall healthy. So I was very excited about that. Also, coffee. There are costs and benefits to drinking coffee, but overall, one cup a day is healthy. It helps stave off Alzheimer's, certain types of cancers. So I am a big fan of those studies, coffee, alcohol, and of course there's chocolate. Unfortunately, the chocolate that's really good for you is incredibly bitter.
Yeah.
Tastes like detergent. But overall, dark chocolate is pretty healthy.
You break up the book by body parts, which I thought was an interesting way of doing it. And so let us begin with the heart, because I assume ultimately you're worried about your heart, you're worried about your weight, and those are sort of the big ones, right?
That's it. And for that one, I talked a lot about exercise, which really is the best way to take care of your heart. One thing I was really shocked by is all the studies that say how horrible sitting at your desk is all day, how that really damages the heart. So even just getting up once an hour and walking around for a couple of minutes, that helps your heart. I took it to the extreme, and I bought a treadmill and put my computer on top of the treadmill, and I wrote the book while walking. So it took me about 1,200 miles to write the book.
1,200 miles to write the book. That interests me in the sense of, do you find yourself being at all distracted by that, or does it help in some way?
No. Weirdly, it helps me focus because it keeps your energy level up, and there are studies that say walking raises your level of serotonin, which is a neurochemical that helps with attention. So it actually helps me. And by the way, I am an incredibly lazy person. So if I can do it and find it enjoyable, I think there's hope for everyone.
You write about the stomach in the book, actually the stomach and then the stomach revisited. You practice something called Chudaism.
That's right. This was an interesting twist, because part of the two challenges in food are you've got to change the quantity and the quality. You got to eat less and eat better. One of the best ways I found to eat less was by chewing more, just like your mom said. You got to chew your food. And there's this group on the internet, and they're very passionate about chewing. They call their movement Chudaism, and they say we got to chew, and they're right, because when you chew, you eat more slowly, and when you eat more slowly, you eat less, because as you might know, the stomach takes 20 minutes to send that I'm full message to the brain. So anything you can do to slow down your eating will help you shed pounds.
You were in portion control. You worked on a raw diet. At what point did you know that you were onto something that could ultimately work for you with all of this testing?
I think combining the best parts of various diets. So I tried the raw food, I tried the paleo, but I don't think you need to go to those extremes. I think to be healthy, just eating a mostly plants diet, like Michael Pollan says, mostly plants, chewing your food a lot, not too much, those are the keys. And I think that one of the things that really changed my energy level was getting rid of the processed, the refined carbs, like white flour, white sugar. I really do agree with those doctors who say that those things are the devil, that those will make you fat just by looking at it. So doing that. And also another thing that really helped me was having protein at breakfast, treating breakfast almost like dinner instead of treating it like dessert, which seems to be what I used to do. You know, all these sugar cereals and these sweet pastries. So breakfast should not be dessert.
You write about your skull in the book. You wore what is called a pedestrian helmet for a week while going to and from work.
Yes, that I don't do anymore. But that was because part of being healthy is being safe. You know, you can eat all the broccoli you want, but if you get hit by a truck, then what's the point? So I was trying to be as safe as humanly possible, and I ran across this study that said that more people die from drunk walking than from drunk driving on a per mile basis. So I thought this was fascinating. So whenever I had a glass of wine, I'd be sure to put on my pedestrian helmet. Now, I don't do that anymore. It was sort of just an experiment. And I think that the strange looks that I got from other people was enough to dissuade me because, you know, that causes stress, and stress is bad for your health. So I don't recommend the pedestrian helmet, but it was just an interesting little experiment.
I didn't know until reading your book that there was such a thing as a pedestrian helmet.
Well, you know, it's funny. There is, in Denmark, there's like a big push by the government to have people wear these pedestrian helmets. I can't imagine that it's going to catch on, but maybe. So in Denmark, no one would have looked twice at me.
I'm trying to picture you on the treadmill, writing the book, and writing a chapter about your genitals.
Well, thank you for picturing that.
I'm trying not to, but
you're trying not to.
Well, I don't. It's an odd thing, right?
It is an odd thing. Well, I try not to go into too much detail, but sex really is healthy, usually anyway. It lowers the chance of heart disease, and in men, it prevents prostate cancer. There was one study I read that said that it cures hiccups. There was a man who had hiccups for 8 years, and he finally had sex, and they were gone. So I don't know if that's true, but it's a possible pickup line for single men out there. So I felt it was important to try to improve my sex life because that will help with the health. It is a part of our of a healthy lifestyle.
This was a 2-year project for you. Did you start to feel better at some point in the project?
I did. I mean, I hesitate to say I am the healthiest person alive. I'm in perfect health because I know as soon as I say that, then I'm going to get some horrible disease tomorrow. Just the way it went. You know, I'm going to get river blindness or rickets or something. But I feel great as of now, and my energy level, that's the one thing that has really been day and night. My energy level has doubled, so I feel very fortunate. So I'm going to continue this, and I think part of it has to do with not sitting around as much, just walking as much as possible, getting a pedometer. That's a little simple change that had a revolutionary effect on my life.
And at some point when you put this aside, the book is done, the project is over, and you return to a quote-unquote normal life, that feels good.
Right. And I'm not continuing everything I did in the book, but because then I would, you know, I would have to quit all of my other jobs and family responsibilities. But I am continuing a lot, and including the idea of moving around as much as possible, incorporating exercise into every little part of my life, like taking the stairs instead of the elevator, or I even started, sometimes I run errands. So if I have to go to the drugstore, I'll run there, buy toothpaste, and run back. So literally running errands.
AJ Jacobs is the author of the brand new book, Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. He also is the editor-at-large of Esquire and a contributor to NPR. AJ Jacobs, great to have you on the program. Best of luck and continued good health.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I would love being on the show, so thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. Again, the book, Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. It is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.